Hey, and welcome back to Coast, Michael Horn with us. We're going to continue chatting with him about the prophecies of Billy Meier, and we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Michael Horn as we talk about the prophecies of Billy Meier. His website, theyfly.com, and the blog, when it gets up and running, is theyflyblog.com. How are they working on that, Michael?
Boy, I hope so. I'm telling you, of all things, for it to go down
on a night like tonight, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully also people that are listening to this later on will, you know, come and see the
write it down and keep it like that. Exactly. What did Billy say about war, Korea, anything like that?
He did not go into anything with Korea. He has said, I mean, you know, you asked, so now I get a chance to talk about that. He has said that, according to the old prophecies, that we must not provoke Russia. Russia wants no trouble with us. They've never done anything to us. They've never invaded us. It would be a very, very big mistake to keep trying to provoke Russia. Now, here's some sad news. Of course, we've got a video up with him talking about this, two different videos, actually, from a couple and 3 years ago, when he just is warning, do not provoke Russia. They're not looking for trouble, blah, blah, blah. Well, in last year, he said the U.S. and NATO are going to move their troops and create a base in, I think he said, northern Germany, close to, maybe it's northeast, close to the Russian border, to try to provoke Russia, and from which they would try to launch military attacks. It hasn't been even, I think, 4 weeks since that was announced by NATO and the U.S. They've started to build that base. This has been on my website, on my blog, actually. Oh, gosh. Since last October. Last October, he specified where the U.S. and NATO were going to set up a base to provoke Russia into a war that, if that war happens, we lose. And that has been in the prophecies for a very long time, preceding Meier by a very long time in those prophecies. And he said to me every time I met with him, you know, your country must not do that. Here's a funny thing about this whole thing with wars and all. I was, you know, in Switzerland over there. Switzerland's kind of in the middle of Europe. It's not a large country. And the interesting thing was that the Swiss are not being attacked by any countries. They don't have terrorists running all over the place. They aren't attacking anybody. And that country is, and I don't know if it will remain this way, but it is simply a jewel of peace and prosperity. It is known for being a neutral, peaceful country. And I was thinking to myself, what is it about the situation where here in the heart of Europe, not far from, you know, Russia, and then there's China, how come this country is peaceful and prosperous, and the people are nice, it's clean, the food is good, all this stuff, and our wonderful country, to which my parents came as legal refugees escaping communists and Nazis, our country, bordered on either side by huge oceans, has all this trouble and spends more in military development than all other nations combined. What is wrong with their thinking? People can decide for themselves how they feel about that, but it has been said for a long time here that if we keep going on this track, we're going to regret it. We do not prevail. Putin, and I saw something that Putin said some months ago, and it struck me because I think it's kind of true. And he said, you know, we were very down here. Our country was, you know, in a low state, our military, and we spent a lot of energy and money to rebuild our military, mm-hmm. and it's really very good. We spent a lot to perfect our weapons. You know, I'm not a fan of nuclear weapons, but, you know, this is Putin. He said, you know, in your country, the problem is you spend all this money and it gets taken by contractors and corrupt people and all of that, and you run a very funny place over there. We want to be friends with you. We're not wanting war with you. There's no reason. So
nobody wins.
Huh?
Nobody wins.
Nobody will win this war. And unfortunately, this goes back to the actual prophecies and predictions of prophets whose names we know as Jeremiah and Enoch, because we have in the Meier case the Henoch prophecies. That's Enoch. People talk about the so-called keys of Enoch. Well, these are the actual prophecies of Enoch. And, of course, they have been coming true unerringly Ever since I've had them on my website, there are things in there. The whole thing with radical Islamist terrorism is in there, and it's in Meyer's 58 letters. This stuff has been foretold, not in a mystical sense, actually in a scientific sense, according to the laws of cause and effect. Somehow these people can do that. Somehow they, in some cases, can travel forward in time. And that is, people can. This isn't meant to scare people. It's meant to wake people up so that we think and we go, wait a minute. Let's check out the record of the accuracy. This guy's got to have been wrong a lot. It's like 10,000 monkeys. You're going to bound to get something right, except we have over 200 specific examples and no errors. We've never had anybody actually show us this is wrong. And his stuff, so much of this is scientific, physics, astronomy, wandering black holes, the speed of gravity, the speed of light, the changes in that. It goes on and on. And I just sent that to somebody where Meyer, going back 37 years, scooped our best scientists on things that are now important new discoveries. And when I send them to scientists, they don't respond because they don't want their...
Does Billy get when they tell him things? Does he understand it or does he just repeat it?
No, he understands. Well, this is an interesting question you're asking. I want to think about that because Billy is a surprisingly very smart man. But he also says, I am not a scientist per se. So when I'm explained certain things, then it has caused him to go and become very scientific in his own right and very astute mathematically. Here's something controversial for those people who are mathematicians. Years ago, Meyer was told that the value of pi, this mathematical, value 3.14 yep. point, 3.141 or whatever, that it was incorrect. The Pleiarian told him, this will have, yes, they said, you will have to correct this before you can even have real space travel, not throwing tin cans at the moon or Mars, but real space travel. So there's a man in Idaho who, along with a couple other people, but this man in Idaho did a very interesting thing. He took and worked out pi and made a physical representation, a model of it. If you're an architect, you don't just theorize what people build. Well, he did this and corrected the value on pi 3.14 for something or other and brought it to Switzerland to give it to Meyer, who showed it to the Pleiarian, and they said, that is the correct value of pi. So he is now with Ken Smith, the former guy from Orbital, and a man in Sweden, Christer Svensson, who is a mathematician as well. They are trying to get this information to be tested so that mathematicians and astronomers and physicists and all to apply it to correcting things that could be used to deflect apophis from coming in. And this all came about in the Meyer material, and there's such fascinating things about this. It covers so many areas, but it's really about trying to give us just enough information and impetus to solve this for ourselves. Nobody's coming to save us, and nobody's coming to attack us. We're doing such a good job of messing our world up, and they're saying, don't blame this on certainly imaginary ETs. All this stuff with the grays and the Nordics, reptilians, the blue avians, green... There's no evidence for any of that, but it's showbiz. But they're saying, hey, folks, here's stuff. Work to preserve your world. They told Meyer within days of Fukushima, they said the radioactive particles are already over northern Europe. This is already a super worst-case meltdown scenario for number three. They gave him it all. When we had the BP disaster, they told him stuff that it took several years before our scientists found, which were specifically that the oil and the exit stuff or whatever they were using was clumping up and sinking to the bottom and covering the ocean bottom. We have that illustrated for years in our comic book before our scientists discovered it. Likewise, in 2005, Billy Meyer warns that there will be a 9.0 earthquake in the area of the Cascadian subduction zone. A huge tsunami will move in on Portland. Another earthquake and another tsunami. 3 years later, OSU, Oregon State University, 3 years later, publishes the same exact information. 9.0. Might run for five.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. crazy.
If Billy's beard gets any longer, he's going to look like Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
You know, people have already done that comparison. You can imagine, George.
That's funny.
And Billy would laugh about it.
By speaking of music, I just got an email from someone who said you're quite the musician.
Oh, I've been a songwriter for over 50, going on 60 years, something like that.
Have you?
And I just put out a new song. It's up on iTunes and CD Baby and all that.
How do you find it?
It will be linked from my bio on theyfly.com and when my blog comes back up. And there's this thing called CD Baby where a lot of people put songs up. And I put it up there, and it's a song I actually wrote, most of the song, 20 years ago. There's a couple more that are coming that I wrote at that time, but the words on this one just kind of briefly are, it is the time of avaricious men lost in their lust for power, baby. Here they come again. Wave the flag and smile to distract us from the truth while we pay like hell for the lies they tell. The thieves are on the loose. Don't go along with that in the land of the free. That's the way we give away our liberty. It's this whole song, you know, like they can't.
Is it Don't Go Along With That? Is that the name of it?
That's what it's called, Don't Go Along With That. It's on CD Baby. It's probably on iTunes and Amazon and all this stuff, and it's linked from my bio.
Do you do the music, too, or just the words?
Oh, I write both. And the cool thing about this, I got to tell you this. I have a friend, his name is Guy Gilbert, and I knew him in high school in 1957, and he's a brilliant guitarist and musician. And when I wanted to do this song, I thought, I've got to go to L.A. and look up Guy, and we're going to do this together. And we did it. And he played all the instruments. I play guitar, but I thought, you know, I don't play this well enough. It's a song I've never performed. I simply wrote it. And so he put down all the tracks, and it's like a country blues thing. And it's really, I think it's catchy. And, you know, anybody wants to, they can hear part of it for free up there on CD Baby and probably on iTunes. And it's really about, you know, the last bridge of it is kind of intense because I'm saying, you know, we won't shed our blood for their stinking senseless wars. We won't, die for dirty deals done behind their darkened doors. We're turning back the tyranny that's threatening our land. We're taking back the power that belongs in our own hands. Don't go along with that in the land of the free. That's the way they take away our liberty. So it's really a bipartisan call for people to, you know, have a real patriotism where we treasure our freedom here. This is supposedly what the country's built on. We've got to come together, preserve it, because there are forces in the world, left, right, whatever, that will take that away if we let them. And I've never been political. I've never gone out and protested in the streets. I protest in my thinking and in what I do with this material because the Meyer case, it's material that's a gift to humankind. If we have the wit and the wisdom to utilize it, to test it, to see if it works, if it's true, if we change our lives by thinking better, then their mission is accomplished, and off they go, which they already have, you know, pretty much.
All right, let's take some calls for you, then we'll take the rest when we come back after the break. Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Gary, go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. George, I want to take just 2 seconds here to wish my 92-year-old mother
a happy birthday, Mom. 92, that's great.
That's true.
And I wanted to talk about John Trump. Tesla, John Trump is the scientist that went through all of Tesla.
Okay, and Gary, I'm going to put you on hold and see if Tom can get a better connection with you because
I couldn't understand that.
It sounded like you were in a tin can without the rope. Remember how they used to put string between two cans?
Yes.
Well, why did they do that, Michael?
The string, because it carried the vibration.
Did it?
Yeah.
And you could hear it down the other end.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, if you did it right, you would hear it. It was just so simple. I mean, it's probably the principle by which, you know, telephone wires were working and all that. It was a little, you know, primitive, but it did work.
Let's go to Bill in Memphis, east of the Rockies. Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And maybe you can, Joyce, you can play his song before the night, so it'll be icing on the cake. It's a great call. Sir,
thank you.
a question, and I want to tell you about a dream. I believe, it's my opinion, that we're not being told the whole story about Mars. I believe that there are structures on Mars. I believe at one time it was inhabited by humanoid-type creatures, that it they had the same problems that we're having down here. They had a thermonuclear war. I believe some got out and came here. I'll take your answers off the phone,
okay.
Number one. Number two, I'll tell you about a dream I had. I had a dream of an extraterrestrial. It was a female. She was about 3 feet tall. She happened to be brown. She had a beautiful green and gold and red robe on. And when she spoke very softly, but it was with so much power. Mm. Sir, I believe within 3 to 5 years, there's going to be an extraterrestrial landing on this earth that will be undeniable. I'll hang up and listen to your comment.
Go for it, Michael, before
you. Sure. That was really neat. That guy has a great accent, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Mars, his sense about that is pretty much borne out in the Mayan material. There were human life forms, human beings living on two other planets. Mars was one of them. The other planet was called Phaeton or Melona, and it was destroyed, according to the information in this case, about 73,000 years ago, 73,000 years and change. These planets, that planet, by the way, is Meyer was told, is now the asteroid belt. But on Mars, they didn't die from a nuclear war. What happened was there's something called the Destroyer Comet that used to come through our part of the solar system with a regularity of about, I think, 675 years, something like that. And the Pleiaren ultimately were allowed to deflect its course so it won't come back for a very long time. But at one point when it passed through, it kind of threw Mars, out of whack, and to make it kind of, a simplistic way of saying it, that when the destroyer came through, it actually basically, one of the things that happened on Earth was it kind of set in motion volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. The Santorini, I think, volcano went off about 6,300 years ago or more. It brought Venus out of an orbit that used to exist around Uranus, according to the Mayan material, and it brought it into where it is now. So there is information, and especially about what our friend was saying about Mars, there were structures there indeed. There were remnants. I don't know if what we see in NASA photos and all that, if those are the actual remnants, but there was a human civilization that was there, and there were underground bases that remained up until about 1998, when there was a situation whereby some of them were actually closed up by the Pleiaren. It's a long story. People email me, I'll direct them.
All right, Michael, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a second as we talk about the prophecies of Billy Meyer. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with our special guest, Michael Horn, the contacts of Billy Meyer, of course, and Billy's predictions for the future. Does Billy see anything, Michael, that scares the living daylights out of him in the future?
Yes, in a way.
Oh, boy.
It's funny you should ask that. There is a document on my famous blog, which will be back up at some point, that he wrote recently based on two visions that he had that he then applied mathematical calculations for probabilities towards. I don't know how he does that, so I can't begin to answer. But there were a couple of things that were very troubling to him. He said the probabilities, I think he said that they were 34 to 50-something percent. He didn't say that they were going to happen for sure, but here's what they were. That the so-called elites of the world, the powers that be, were going to go about doing population reduction through manipulating illnesses that seemingly were Vanquished will be reappearing, which he predicted years ago, and some of them already are, that they will manipulate DNA and all this kind of stuff and target specific groups, specific races or cultures. It was very distressing for him. He said that this is a fairly high probability, and it is, I don't know what to say about that. It's very grim that it's designed to, you know, eliminate large masses of people because here's the irony of it. Because of, you know, what is perceived by, let's say, the elites as an overpopulation. Well, just let me be honest here. The core of the Meyer material has said that so many of our problems come from an overpopulation that we do not control ourselves. So we do not, we run into all sorts of strife, conflict, scarcities, pollution, all these things, because we, as organisms on a planet, we overbreed and don't control our numbers. So because we haven't done that, more powerful people have decided there's too many people on Earth, and they're going to go about getting rid of them rather than the populace working with staggered births and different things that have nothing to do with eugenics and genocide and all that. That was very distressing to him, the coming cashless society, the enslavement of peoples that he says is a huge possibility, probability. That was fairly distressing to him as well. And there were a bunch of other things that he spelled out in this document. And again, I don't like to have us come off as like doom and gloomers. He simply says these are the warnings about things because
I think we need the warnings. We need to hear this.
He's been trying to do it for a long, long time. And so, you know, his material goes back. He was first given material 76 years ago as a 5-year-old child.
Why did the ETs tell him this rather than just fix it and stop it?
Because what they've said is, here's the core. You know, earlier I spoke about this thing called the spiritual teaching. What does that mean? It means that human beings have to realize that we individuals are 100% responsible for our own lives, and collectively we are 100% responsible for our humankind, for what goes on in our world. Nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's going to, fix our problems, because we would not learn that way. They say life is not set up that way. Their own history of the Pleiaron, I'm speaking about, according to this information which we have on this famous blog of mine, they had thousands of years of misguided, over-the-top living with, you know, Star Wars on steroids, warriors, because they had the technology. It took them a few thousand years to settle down to where they started to live in accordance with the laws of the universe, with the laws of nature, which opened real abundance without scarcity, without people having to be in conflict. And they live, in a sense, a simple life with the most magnificent things available to them that we could imagine. If we knew, if we looked in on how these people live after now they've learned their own lessons, we'd be depressed, because they're not climbing over each other for pieces of paper or gold and silver coins. They live having whatever they need in their world, but they have to contribute to their world. So they don't compete with each other for things to amass possessions unto themselves, because they don't live in scarcity. They can have what they want. And people that can travel in space and perhaps in time and see things that are, you know, are magnificent, we may ultimately get to be that kind of a race. They're not the only ones. But they have to go through just terrific stuff, and that's part of the reason for these contacts. No, we're not coming to fix your world. We're going to give you all that we possibly can, that you may take a shorter trip to remedying your self-made problems than we ourselves did in our long, long evolution with our crazy ancestors who were space, you know, warriors and all this stuff. So this is, you know, why, no, we don't get saved by anybody. And, you know, people have various beliefs about things and beings that will save us and intercede in our lives, and they're saying, no, that isn't how life works. It's actually much grander and more fair than that. And when we take responsibility for what we're thinking and feeling and doing in life, life itself, for the individual, gets better. And life is made up on Earth of individuals and the collective gets better, but we've got to discipline ourselves to want that which is beautiful and peaceful and full of love and harmony and, you know, fellowship. And, you know, no, it's not about singing Kumbaya. It's about getting in touch. Hmm. Organisms, animals, things don't overbreed. They don't, they live in a balance, and we can learn from that. And we're smarter. We're not ruled by instinct. So there's so much in this that is just beautiful, and most of it you can find freely. And speaking of which, if I may say, George, my own, I'm not too good about my commercials, but now that my blog is not visible, where I had my offer, I'll just say this. Anybody that buys anything from my little store on theyfly.com, anything at all, I will send you a free, almost two-hour-long DVD on the Meyer case, but you've got to mention either George or C2C. So I know that you...
That's it. Okay.
That's it. That's my commercial. Free
that's
DVD.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Joseph in Monterey, California. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Good evening, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Three days in a row.
Good for you. You're lucky.
Yes, I'm very familiar with the group that Billy Myers is in contact with. I have several questions. Did Billy ever talk about negative and positive in that particular group? Oh, by the way, did he give you the name of the group? Because you haven't mentioned it.
What group are you speaking about?
The group that Billy Myers is in contact with.
Do you mean the extraterrestrial group?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Okay, they call themselves the Pleiaren. They originally used the screen name called... calling themselves the Pleiadians. There is no life in the Pleiades. So in 1975, when they told Billy to use that term, he said, why? No such thing exists. And they said, because after you start to publish your information, after you start to publish your evidence, and people hear this term Pleiadian, you're going to know who the lying people are who are deceiving, because they're going to call themselves Pleiadian contactees, and this and that. There are no Pleiadians. And positive and negative exists in everything. This is, of course, part of, you know, any good teaching, that we must learn to balance, but we can't do without negative, and we can't do without positive. If we try to go all positive, we degenerate just as badly as if we go all negative.
Joseph?
That's the name that they gave me as well, and it's a general name that they'll use, you know, and contact us. I already know the answers to these questions, but they need to be said, because the Pleiadians are very active, and the positive ones. Now, did they talk about negative Pleiadians?
There are no Pleiadians. That's what I was just trying to explain, and that's why the idea that gets spread in UFO circles and New Age stuff about Pleiadians, it isn't accurate. There are no such things. And we are also very creative human beings, and we can conjure things in our own minds and consciousness to believe or create things. So I'm just saying, with all due respect, there are, according to Meyer, and who is the only contactee that I have evidence of, people can claim what they want, but there are no Pleiadians. They're known as the Pleiaren, and the Pleiaren themselves are human beings who are not perfect. There's no such thing as, you know, the perfect space brothers, and they make mistakes, but they correct them, but they don't operate on a basis of evil. Positive and negative are different things. People can have a, you know, a negative disposition about something and then correct their behavior, but this is a whole story unto itself. But I just wanted to share that with you, because I can't answer questions about things that don't exist.
And how old was he, Michael, when he was visited?
His first contacts occurred telepathically at the age of five. He turned to the local parish priest because he wasn't sure what was going on, if this was okay. The parish priest said, who had been contacted telepathically himself, said, don't worry, it's not the devil and all this. And then he started to have the face-to-face contacts with the first teacher, who called himself Svath, and who was a very elderly man and tutored Meyer for 11 years. There's something very interesting about that I only learned recently, was that his education with this man, Svath, lasted for more than 11 years, because he took him out of our time-space idea to educate him. And again, you know, this is like, sounds like sci-fi, but I found it fascinating, and I can't prove it. So,
have they ever physically taken Billy out in the ship? They have.
since childhood. And then he even, I think it was last year on his birthday, they brought him for the second visit to their world, but they have taken him through space and shown him many things. That's why a lot of the stuff that we call the prophetically accurate information, like when Meyer published information in October of 1978 about Jupiter, its moons Io, Amalthea, and Europa, he scooped NASA by 5 months.
Jeez.
And I spoke to the lead one of the lead professors on that whole thing, who also said, oh, my gosh.
Remarkable.
How'd the guy get the information? Yeah, I mean, this goes on and on. So I don't want to over-talk on the callers.
Well, let's go to Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Ed, go ahead.
Appreciate you taking the call.
Sure thing.
Mr. Horn, a lot of these things you're talking about are accurate, and a lot of it's mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, my Savior, right? Now, he's going to set his kingdom up here on earth, 1,000-year millennial reign here on earth, after the Battle of Armageddon. Now, there's going to be a rise of the European Union military force unlike anything the world's ever seen, which will come together with the United States of America, and there's going to be a false messiah that's going to impose the mark of the beast on every living human being on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about the collapse of the economy, all of that's going to go down. Now, I believe, without a doubt, President Trump was selected, anointed by God to be where he's at right now to go against the global world order. He won't be able to stop him, but he's given us time to turn to Christ as our Savior before the tribulation period starts. And once that tribulation period starts, all hell is going
to
break
loose. Well, that's possibly. Tell him to have God take away his smartphone so he doesn't tweet as much.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your feelings there, your beliefs.
Does Billy get involved in the apocalypse or anything like that?
It's more like in bringing forward the various prophecies and predictions. There are things that we could say are, apocalyptic. Boy, it's late for my tongue.
Now you're doing well, Michael.
Okay, Armageddon tired of hearing about the apocalypse, I'd like to say. But these things are apocalyptic, But you see, we have a normalcy bias, George. Even for all of us, we wake up in the morning, the sun is still shining, we walk outside, things are basically normal. When spike events happen, I call them spikes, things that shift the mass perception of reality and, certain terrorist acts or environmental upheaval. Meyer is the first person in 1951, based on the advice, information from his teacher, to warn about man-made climate change, unnatural global warming, all this volcanic stuff. And also, again, apocalypse comes about if we neglect to investigate information given to us to help us assure our own future survival. It's probably the best way I can put it. And, hopefully we don't go down that road, but hope is not enough. We have a lot of work.
We need action, not just hope.
Yes.
And I think that's part of Billy's message over all these years, that there are things that we need to fix, and he's just giving us warnings that we have to do it and get our act together.
And some of these warnings literally originated more than 10,000 years ago. And they're very specific, and they relate to today. And as your previous caller was saying, there are people that we know as, let's say, biblical prophets who were in contact with these people then. And we don't have to go into that whole thing. We don't have the time. But this is about the action of self-responsibility at its core. If we think about that, we think more carefully when we turn our power over to anyone or anything. And we take responsibility and we discuss with each other what are the eternally valid principles, values, and ethics in human life. And we get rid of the labels of left and right and Democrat and Republican, and we seek truth. If we don't, because political parties are a man-made creation, but the creation itself, life itself, we didn't create it. We've got to learn to live in harmony.
Michael, in 30 seconds, just tell us about the store and what people can do if they order anything for you.
Yes, and a friend who just, I think, wrote, if anybody goes to my theyfly.com store, you can buy books, e-books, DVDs, what have you, and Meyer's books are treasures. Buy anything there and simply use, say, George or C2C, and if you don't find a place in the order to do it, you send me a separate email, and I send you a free DVD called The Meyer Context. I put it out in 2004, and you will see the advance warnings of things like illegal immigrants all over the world, what happens to people, the whole thing with radical Islamism, and all this stuff that Meyer, we published this 12, 14 years ago so that people would find out and start to think and not let things go down the drain.
Michael, thanks for being on the program again. Always good talking to you. Michael Horn for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasore, Stephanie Smith, Greg Bishop, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.